Hey, Dr. B, can you, am I working?
Yeah, now I can see you. I can see
oh
you
God.
And hear you.
Oh my goodness. I'm so sorry.
Buddy, you got on, I got on. Yeah.
My whole computer blew up. It wouldn't start. My computer would not start today. I apologize.
Oh my God. Did you hit it with a hammer or anything?
I felt like it. Oh my gosh. How are you, Doc?
Really good, man. Yeah. Things are changing.
Yeah.
I'm being sued by the chiropractic board to take my license for 5 of our videos.
Really? For what did you do?
I put information out. One of them on how this little 4-year-old kid that I was working on that was damaged by vaccine, and the dad said, look, you know, develop it normally. The kid got a couple of shots. And then had seizures, fevers, and brain damage.
Right.
And I was showing on there, he made that statement, and they complained that I didn't put a disclaimer. Vaccines are safe and effective except in this person.
Oh my gosh, are you serious?
And then I'm showing how to stop a seizure in this kid, and he's saying, yeah, you know, we've been up here for 2 weeks, and the child's recovering. It's very exciting. And I'm showing how to stimulate neurodevelopment in a kid to calm down seizures.
Right.
They said there's no evidence that chiropractic care can cause neuroregeneration, which is crazy. There's thousands of articles out there on proprioceptive changes. So, there's one on lung cancer. When I said cigarettes don't cause smoking or cigarettes don't cause cancer, and they don't. 20% of all the people over 100 still smoke. But do they weaken the immune system? And 90% or 60% of all the women in Canada that have lung cancer never smoked. So, you know, but having data that's accurate and still losing your license, have you ever heard of a doctor with that?
The last 2 years, I haven't heard that at all.
I know.
That's really strange. Yeah.
Like McCullough, you know, I mean, all these docs, the data doesn't matter. So
would it, I guess it would matter to your clinic, of course, right? Because you couldn't actively practice chiropractic, but you'd still call yourself doctor, right?
Oh, yeah. But, yeah. They can't take my doctorate away, but they can. I can get licensed in other states. It's just with the AB 2098, I think they want to apply that to all doctors. So I'm like a test case.
Yeah. And they go after the biggest ones and then they try to absorb chiropractic into the medical model, which they've been trying to do forever.
Yeah.
Wow. That's insane, Doc.
Yeah. So I've got a lot of options going to court, you know. But you know, I've got the practice in Thailand, in Mexico, and you know, they're not gonna shut us down. Then we got the Cairo Systems site that we're gonna put everything on because they're gonna wipe out everything.
Humanity is gonna win in the end. You know, this is like the same thing is going on with our YouTube channel. Like we're getting shadow banned like crazy. They're going back 4, 5, 6 years on radio shows I've done to go back and demonetize and the whole thing. You know, it happened to you. I just don't care. I'll just start up another YouTube channel. I'll start up a Brighteon channel, a Rumble channel. You're not gonna get rid of our message.
Yep.
So good luck, you know?
Yeah. And
what they do.
Yeah, the private site we got, and you know, just want to keep a little presence to say, hey, look, this is the stuff we can't talk about. This is the channel we're on.
And they took you off TikTok too, right?
Oh God, they took me off TikTok quick. Yeah, we went from like 5,000 subscribers to 90,000 subscribers, and then bam, you're done.
Can't have that. No. You can't change people's lives because that would be bad, right?
Yeah. Particularly if you have a non-pharmaceutical model. But
yeah. My goodness.
Yeah, we are still here.
Dude, it's war at this point, you know. I don't care what they do. I don't care what they try to do. I'm just going to start up new channels. Everyone I know is doing the same thing. You're doing the same thing. You know, good luck trying to change and censor all these people because it's not going to happen. I don't care, you know.
Yep. But
yeah.
Give Kate and the kids a hug.
I will, definitely. And I will. All right. So I think I made you co-host. So you are. Did I do that? Yep. Okay. Yep. All right, Doc. Thank you so much. And I'll talk to you soon and tell Sarah I said hi too.
I will. See you later, brother.
Okay. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Good morning, all. Rachel, you got your hand up. Hello, my dear.
Hello. How are you?
really good. What's going on?
I have a few questions, if that's okay, but some of them should be quick. So you were kind enough to look over my x-rays about a year ago and kind of give me a protocol that my chiropractor was able to follow. And I was adjusted about 70 times over the course of just over a year. And they took follow-up x-rays and they don't see any more rotation in thoracic area that you thought was most likely causing my anxiety and panic attacks. So my question is, how long does it take for the body to move from a state of sympathetic dominance to parasympathetic now that the physical stressors are?
Well, the physical stressors are all the time. Okay, so when you're sitting, you've got to have that foam piece behind you to change that input to the cerebellum.
Okay, I have a pool noodle just for that.
the pool noodle, wrap it with a couple of towels because we need it a little bit thicker than that, and we need it firmer. And the chemical stressors, that's going to be poor sleep patterns. How long does it take to go from sympathetic to parasympathetic? Fractions of seconds. So if you're watching some karate movie where a guy's getting hacked to death by a sword, protecting someone, and then all of a sudden you have a Hallmark commercial where a puppy's running through a field, you go through from exciting to awe. So it takes seconds. But then that's also reprogramming the brain. Because the brain, when you've been in a chronic state of stress, your brain is firing along those lines. So you're just going from foxhole to foxhole. So in order to change that rewiring, neurolinguistic programming is fantastic. And that's the I am exercise. And that's, we recommend the start minimum 10 minutes, three times a day, where it's literally involving body posture, volume, intonation, and breathing. And you're saying, I am strong, I am healthy, I'm dynamic, I'm vibrant, I am accurate, I am brief, you know. And anytime, because thoughts fall like dominoes. One thought will hit another thought, will hit another thought. So like if I reach over and I get my chlorine dioxide water, okay. If my shoulder twinges, yeah, it's no big deal for me. You know, I haven't worked out yet. You know, it worked out really hard yesterday. It's no big deal. But if your shoulder twinges, oh my God, my joints are breaking down. I'm getting old before my time. Okay. And those thoughts will suck you down into the pit of hell. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when those thought firing patterns happen, that's when you go, oh shit, that's an old firing pattern. I am healthy. I'm dynamic. I'm vibrant. I'm strong. I'm healed. And you don't have to believe it. They're not affirmations. Okay. So you're not bullshitting yourself. The subconscious learns through repetition. And that's ideal. And you've got to reprogram. That's the emotional component. And that's Zig Ziglar said, self-motivation is best done like bathing daily. And dear, honest to God, every day I got to start it the same way. Okay. I've got to do that when I'm on my way to one of the businesses and I'm thinking about an employee or patient or, you know, California is trying to take my license now. So, you know, I'm thinking about all the stuff. It's like, oh shit, I'm in that old firing pattern. Okay, I am healthy, I'm strong, I'm accurate, I'm brief. God's love flows from God through me into my patients. 100% of the people I touch receive that healing energy. And I'll do it over and over and over. I get out of that truck, dear, I'm vibrating at a different level. Problems bounce off of me like water off a duck.
Right.
You know?
So I also have a slight spondylolisthesis at L5. Are those pelvic sacral blocks useful for at-home use just to kind of lay on to help get that in place or no?
Not really. You know, I mean, you can. You know, it's nice. The trochanter support I like better. And then since that in most of the time, anterior listhesis aren't the main cause of it. It's going to be the disc injuries above and the instability of the pelvis below. But that's why, like on the pelvic health videos, we talk about stabilizing the pelvis with a trochanter support, but that's only part of it. Sitting with that foam piece or water bottle, then stretching the calf, because we've got to change the gait. So that's going to be a little block of wood. We use a 4x4. Okay. Yep. And getting that area stretched, that's going to be fantastic. And all of those that doing that, you're changing your gait. And then if you can walk barefoot in the grass or hard sand, okay, and then diaphragmatic breathing. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when you get those panic attacks, okay, or you get some anxiety because it's mainly from those thought processes. Like, let's say you and me were driving to a relative that is quadruple vaxxed. He thinks you're crazy. He thinks that Kamala Harris is the greatest vice president we ever had. And you guys got into it. So we're driving to his home and you're thinking, you're going to say this. I'm going to say this. You're going to say, okay, you're emotionally and chemically living that event. Well, we're in the car. So it's a complete delusion. So that's when you do the exercise. So a lot of these are to relearn or to reprogram that brain. That's why it's called neurolinguistic programming.
Okay. And is there any particular one that you recommend, or if I just look like Google?
Oh, just look at the stuff. Look at, we still got videos on how to reprogram the brain. And we talk about changing the sleep patterns, being diligent about what goes into your brain. Okay. And how that programs, you know, okay. Just, you know, it's like the old natives would say, there's two wolves fighting for your soul, one evil, one good. And which one wins? It's the one you feed. It's true, dear. It's true. And then look at super healthy fats. Okay. Because I think I remember seeing a leaky gut. Okay. And that on the x-ray, the lumbar one. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be fermented foods, healthy fats. And
do you think fermented foods are still good if I'm dealing with histamine issues? Because that was like kind of mast cell activation. So is it still, or is it kind of a...
Well, histamines are part of an inflammatory process. Okay. Histamines are literally the body doing everything it can to repair. So if you have an intestinal tract, because the intestinal tract is supposed to be solid. If there's holes in it from funguses and yeast or glyphosates or all of this stuff, that can have proteins that aren't tempered by digestion to leak into the bloodstream, then that causes an inflammatory response. Okay, so your body's attacking these proteins. So the histamines, that's like looking downstream. It's okay. Like saying we got dirty water in our river. Okay, well, do we have to clean the water or find out why it's dirty? The histamines aren't that's the body trying to repair. Okay. So histamine response just means that there's tissue damage. So tissue damage could be from the gut, which is more than likely, particularly if you're having a reaction to foods. If you're having a reaction to foods, then for sure as hell there's a leaky gut. So this could be moist heat on the tummy, you know, several times throughout the day, because moist heat penetrates around 2 inches. It could be doing the water trick, which I recommend on severe cases to start, which is horrible. Okay, this, you get up in the morning, you get 16 ounces of water, hot water, almost as hot as tea. You can't put any lemon or lime in it, maybe a pinch of sea salt, and then you got to down this hot water in the space of 1 minute. So you have this ball of hot water in your tummy. Then you put your elbows on the kitchen counter, stand away from the counter, and then you're going to force your tummy out, then force it in, force it out, then force it in over about 3 minutes. And you do this first thing in the morning. So that's going to rush blood to the intestinal tract, and the intestines are under parasympathetic control. So anything that you do to the organs helps get you in a better automatic nervous system balance. And, you know, you do that over 3 minutes, you're going to poop like a goose afterwards. So I wouldn't plan a long car ride. but that is amazing. That coupled with the diaphragmatic breathing, coupled with a change in sleep patterns and literally reprogramming the subconscious. And then your gut's going to start healing. The gut heals usually within 30 days. And you do that water trick every day for the first 5 days, first week, 3 days a week, next 3-4 weeks. After that, your gut's healed, as long as you're changing the sleep patterns and everything else.
Okay. Now I have a tight kind of, I don't know, muscle kind of in between my right shoulder blade and the spinal column. And it kind of goes down under the bone there into almost my armpit and then down the inside of my right arm.
Mm-hmm. That you still have forward head carriage. You got to get that curve in the neck back. Okay. And so getting that sitting with, and I mean that a pool float won't work, Okay, you need something firm, and I'm talking like a as firm as a glass water bottle, and you could use a plastic liter bottle water, but it's got to be that firm where it's not compressible.
What kind of diameter are you talking?
4 inches.
Okay.
Yeah, like an IKEA water bottle.
Okay.
That's perfect. And that's the size of the foam that we use, and the foam we have, you cannot compress.
And that's what you said, like the bottom of the, where your elbow hits, that's about where you want it in the lower
bottom of the elbow is the bottom of the roll. So this way it's, and when you put it back there, and that's right at the level of the diaphragm. Once you put it back there, you're going to notice, oh shit, it's easier to breathe. And it de-stresses out the shoulder area because you're restoring that curve. And then look throughout the day. Okay. Because if your head is up and moving and everything else, but if you're like this, okay, you're straightening the curve in the neck, throwing the head forward. And if most people are like this several hours throughout the day, that's when you're going to do the neck curve exercise or sit, you know, with a desk, put your elbows on there, put your chin underneath your palms and deep breathe diaphragmatically in through the nose, out through the mouth. While you have that curve in there, that'll shut down that muscle quick.
Okay, great. I've got a question about my son. He's 12 years old, very active kid. He's been complaining of intermittent pain in his left wrist for the past couple of years now. It really mostly only occurs if he goes to bed late or if he's bored at school. It seems to be kind of like a dull ache on the inside of his wrist. The doctors ruled out carpal tunnel, and he's been through 2 rounds of therapy over the past 3 years or so.
Yeah, it won't work.
We have done some chiropractic care, but the pain is still there. And his trap muscles up here are very, very tight. Mm-hmm. And so are the muscles around his left elbow.
Yeah.
So there's that physical pain, but then there's also, he also gets very overwhelmed easily. And especially if he's like learning new things or he's stressed about something to the point where he like completely shuts down, gets very angry, almost like fight or flight kind of.
Perfect. You know, perfect. Yeah. This is classic symptoms.
I was finally able to convince the chiropractor to take x-rays of him, and they found that his left hip and left shoulder are elevated. The middle of his spine curves to the left and his head curves to the right to kind of compensate for that. So my question for you is, they recommended that he lie on like a thick book or something about an inch thick on his right hip, and then kind of have like a pillow under his head, but like tilting him up a little bit to kind of help correct that. To kind of help correct, you know, the spine and everything. And it does seem to be working because his muscles aren't as tight anymore. But I wanted to ask you what you recommend, whether you agree with that or if there's something else that I should be trying for him.
Well, I want to kick the chiropractor in the shin really hard right now. Because to have a parent convince the chiropractor to take an x-ray, that son of a bitch needs to be beat. Okay. No, because I mean, the body is smart. Okay. A couple of things. Did he have ear infections when he was a child? Even one?
No, but when he was about 6 months old, we found out he had a dairy allergy. And this was actually, he was hunting breastfed, but the dairy I was eating was affecting him. So.
Okay. You broke up a little bit. Hopefully you can still hear me. Here, let's, I think, because my internet's working good. You're not coming through right now, Rachel, but hopefully you can still hear this. If he has any vaccines at all, that's going to create inflammation and have a gut issue. The chiropractor's got to restore the curves in his neck and in his low back. Those sideways deviations are going to be a significant physical stressor. But if there was any birth trauma, that's why I was asking about ear infections. Because ear infections, 97% of the time, aren't infections. They're ear effusions, which means that there's an upper cervical problem. So the chiropractor has got to get them adjusted. And if the chiropractor is not familiar with x-raying and adjusting and correcting kids, because, you know, just sitting there, blocking it, sitting on a book, changing that, that's okay. But to restore the normal curves and to give him cross crawl exercises where one side's moving forward, the other side's moving back, that will help him a lot. We give a lot of kids where they're sitting on a bench and just have them dangle their legs. And you may see that he might be a toe walker. He might have, yeah, good. You're there. Oh, bitching.
The phone started overheating and it cut out. So I think I missed just a little bit of that.
Okay. So did he have any vaccines at all?
No, none.
Okay. Then and no antibiotics at all his whole life?
He once or twice, not a lot, but yes, once
okay,
or twice.
Once or twice, that's the leaky gut. Okay. So what you may see that we have these kids sit on a bench and they dangle their legs and we have them tap something like the back of a chair or a trash can. And you may see it's hard for him to keep that an even keel or an even rhythm. And that has to do with getting both halves of the brain. If the chiropractor is not skilled in adjusting, correcting children, you might need to go to the pediatric chiropractic site, the ICPA site, because the wrist symptom is just an alarm saying that it's coming from the neck. The fact that the chiropractor was maybe working on it without an x-ray means, you know, we may need to elevate the skill of the chiropractor. So the website is ICPA, the number 4, KIDS. And I think it's .org. Might be .com, but it might be .org. Yeah, it's the International Chiropractic Pediatric website. And that way you'll be able to hook up somebody because we've got to get that kid corrected. But that's the same thing. His sleep patterns. Okay, got to make sure his room's totally, totally dark. Get him to, you know, healthy fats to get his gut healed. On the x-rays, we may see an abnormal bowel gas, which is more than likely it. Because kids today, they're going to eat good at home and shitty at school. And if they're
eating... He's school, so he's pretty good everywhere.
Okay, cool. Yeah, but he may have had glyphosate exposure and that'll cause a leaky gut. If he's sensitive to certain foods, have him put moist heat on his tummy. Okay, and then that'll rush blood to the area and watch his sleep patterns. But is sitting on a bench, swinging his legs in an even fashion, that's going to be diagnostic as well as therapeutic.
Okay, so if I can do that, great. Okay, my other son, who's 9, he has a cavity in his tooth, and the dentist wants to use silver diamine fluoride to kind of kill the bacteria on it. And then he wants to put a stainless steel crown on it, cemented with a glass ionomer. But the research that they provided on their website said that that glass ionomer has high fluoride releases high fluoride into the tooth as well. And we don't use fluoride at all.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It seems very suspicious to me. But at the same time, I have a son who has a tooth that hurts and I want to get it. Obviously, I don't want him in pain anymore. I don't really know.
Yeah, have him do oil pulling with coconut oil. Have him put moist heat on it. Okay, like a hot, wet cloth on the outside of the cheek. That'll start rushing blood to the area. If you can, find a Huggins Protocol Dentist, H-U-G-G-I-N-S. And those guys have got protocols where they're going to use biocompatible resin if it needs to be scraped out. The body can regenerate enamel. Okay, so, but you've got to make sure the tooth is clean, make sure that oil pulling is also going to help to stimulate the salivary glands, which the salivary glands actually help the health of the teeth. And the oil is antimicrobial, coconut oil, but he's got to spit it in the trash can, not in the sink. And direct heat on there will help his tooth. It will help heal it. Okay, and then, one of the things that you do with an adult, I don't know, you know, depends. 9 years old is kind of like on the edge, but we would have an adult brush their teeth with baking soda. And then you rinse it with apple cider vinegar. Okay. And then this has a reaction where it explodes that baking soda. It's kind of like the experiment in high school where you made the volcano.
Yeah.
Baking soda and vinegar. And it, okay. Well, this is going to explode and it'll remove any plaque around and it'll clean the teeth very, very clear. Then you can put an essential oil on the toothbrush like peppermint or spearmint and you paint the teeth with the essential oil. Now, the reason I say the kids are kind of like right on the cusp, an adult will deal with the shitty taste of the apple cider vinegar, they'll deal with brushing with that thing, and then they'll deal with painting their teeth with an essential oil. You know, some kids will just go, ooh, that's too yucky.
Yeah.
You know, so.
He's brushing with the baking soda at least. So we'll see if I can just can add the vinegar to there as well.
Yeah. And then coat it. And then you got a good chance to regenerate the enamel, but the heat will help heal the tooth as well. And viruses, funguses, and bacteria die at a higher temperature. Yeah. Using a poisonous chemical to decrease an infection. I'm with you. That doesn't make sense.
Well, suspicious. I apologize for monopolizing so much time. I have two quick questions. One is, I've been using Snoot nasal spray for kind of allergies. I lived in moldy houses. It's a chlorine dioxide spray is what it is. And it actually helps a lot with brain fog and just kind of stuffiness. But I was wondering if I need to do anything to repopulate the nasal microbiome, because I've been using it for, you know, I think going on 2 years now. Can I use kimchi juice, or is there something else that would be better?
If the chiropractor can open up the hard palate, okay, and literally you go into the maxillary bone on the roof of the mouth and separate it, and then you can move the facial bones around to help de-stress out the sinuses, and then nasal breathe throughout the day. Okay, so this is all...
My mouth tape at night.
Okay, yeah, fantastic. Because that's going to help desensitize the mucous membranes, but heal in the gut too. That'll desensitize the mucous membranes. You don't need to repopulate it. But knowing that liquid actually helps, it's going to shrink swelling of the mucous membrane. So getting the neck curve back, de-stressing out the nerves that supply the sinuses, making sure the soft palate works. But there could be some impacted sinuses. And the way you do that is you're going to literally move, because there's two sinuses above, behind, and below the eyes. And they can literally start to distort the facial features, where the chiropractor can start moving these facial bones around, and it drains the sinuses really, really quickly.
Great. Okay, last question. Do you have a recommendation for blue light blocking glasses that aren't crazy expensive? Because I've looked at the ones on Extreme Health Academy site and Nurturing Traditions, and they're all just very, very expensive. And I notice my eyes get fatigued very easily. One of those options on Extreme Health Radio, you're supposed to wear yellow during the day, light orange until 7, dark orange until 9. And I can't buy all these different light blocking glasses. So if I could only buy one and couldn't pay more than $50, do you have a recommendation?
I don't. I mean, if I was more technical savvy, I know there's a setting on a computer to change some of the light.
I have that on my phone.
Yeah, Justin's the absolute expert on that. I'd defer to him.
Okay, I will ask him next Friday then.
Yeah, if you got five choices, okay, and you only got money for one, which one would you choose?
Yeah, exactly. That's my question. But all right, thank you so much for all of your time. And thank you for fighting the fight against... the government and everyone who's trying to censor everything.
Darling, you're an amazing mom. Your kids are super smart because they chose you. God bless you, dear. Okay. Jim.
Doctor.
Brother, what's going on?
I got a problem with my temperature. It's low all the time. It's like low 97s. I'm freezing kind of almost like it was a thyroid type thing, but I'm doing iodine, selenium, L-arginine, all the stuff I'm supposed to take, but nothing. It's not getting better. It's staying there, and I'm freezing and a lot of issues like that.
Okay, now that when going back to the old one, the physical, chemical, emotional stress.
Yeah.
Okay, because when you've got those two things. We break up, like in the medical world, they break it up into thyroid, adrenals, liver, lungs, you know, but it's not like that. Everything works in harmony.
Right.
Metabolism, just like you have the automatic nervous system, you've got the adrenals and the thyroid. So if the thyroid's down, you've got to look at the adrenals as causing that. Right. So there's got to be some kind of physical, chemical, emotional stress going on. So if the physical stress, like you've got, you know, good structural x-rays, you're taking care of that, either getting the neck curve back or, to restore the natural curves and to correct past traumas. The chemical stress, that's sleep patterns. Sleep is huge. Okay, that's going to be ideal. And then movement. The brain needs movement like a vitamin. So this means you're moving every day. So if you're working out a half hour every day, and I'm talking moving every joint, doing a twisting exercise, you know, sit-ups, push-ups, you know, the standard workout, you know, just half hour tops, half hour fast walking. Right. That will get your metabolism, where the adrenals are going to be burning up some of those stress hormones, and then changing the sleep patterns, making sure you're sleeping through the night, and then the healthy diet, you know, eating foods that your great grandparents would recognize.
Right.
Yeah. Then you're going to start to adapt, because if the blood is draining or it's cold in your hands, cold feet, it could be from compromised nerve supply in the neck. It could be from the gut area, that blood's going to that area where it's a parasympathetic dominant state and the sympathetic isn't firing. So it could be a problem in the mid thoracic area that hasn't been addressed, you know, some old football injury or sports injury or something. So that's why doing a thorough physical exam of the structure with a digital set of x-rays is really, really helpful.
Right.
And that can identify some old problems, because I've seen thoracic subluxations where a guy fell out of a tree 40 years ago and he's always had cold hands, cold feet. You adjust that and then the nervous system starts to function correctly.
Right. Yeah. I know I had the no curve in the neck thing, and you showed me a long time ago about the, you know, the TV thing and holding up, and I've been doing that, and that I haven't had x-ray on it, but all the different issues that I used to have are completely gone. I feel so much better. And I think it's the curve's gotten back, but I got to check it. With that same, all with fatigue really, really bad. And it's like, it's flipped over. I can't get to sleep, you know, 1-2 in the morning, but the mornings is just crazy trying to wake up.
Is 100%. That's the cause. Yeah. Yeah. The cold hands. Yeah. That's only the alarm. Okay. Yeah, the poor sleep is a big chemical stressor. It keeps you in that chronic fight or flight.
Okay, cool, awesome. And when you just talked to that girl about the hot water and in the gut thing and working it for gut problems, does that work on celiac?
Oh yeah, it works on any kind of bowel disorder. Because I mean, just figure, if you put a hot cloth on your arm and take it away, the arm's red.
Yeah.
And so by changing that, the brain is going to rush blood to the intestinal tract.
Okay, cool.
And literally, it's a really cool yoga move. If you get into it, you can start to manipulate your abdominal muscles. You get more control of it. But you down that water in the space of 1 minute, and it's got to be almost as hot as tea, but you don't want to get burned.
Right.
And then you put your elbows so your tummy is hanging in the air, then forcing it out and forcing it in. Don't put any lemon or lime in the water, you know, so the last sip is kind of disgusting. But you get that pound of hot water and you're forcing it through the intestinal tract. Fantastic. And then you can start to put heat on the intestinal tract. Okay. So like a hot water bottle covered with a wet cloth, that'll penetrate, I mean, most people's guts, and that rushes blood to the area. Then look at the pelvis, look at the lumbar, make sure the nerves that supply that intestinal tract are working correctly.
Yeah.
But celiac heals within 30 days, but you got to fix the sleep patterns. You got to fix the emotional component, you know, physical, chemical, emotional stress. And then the body heals quick.
That's cool. Yeah. My wife's one that has that. She was having issues with restless leg syndrome type thing, but all over her whole body forever, gets maybe 1 to 2 hours of sleep. And, some doctor just gave her an iron IV because of her sleep problems. And that next night, her fatigue, it was night every night, but the fatigue kind of went away. She started sleeping great. Iron IV.
Now think of this. Okay. If someone's under stress and there's only three stressors, okay. You have less stomach acid produced.
Yeah.
That means your mineral absorption is going to be not good. So what he did, he forced mineral absorption in there, bypassing the stomach. Now, iron is cool. Iron helps the blood hold oxygen. So if your blood's not holding oxygen, it's not doing its job. The system becomes acidic. Okay, that means diffuse joint pain. It means the blood starts to clump together because you have low stomach acid. And that means diffuse joint pain because the all the joints in your body are hydraulic. So that means fluid can't get into the joints. So that's going to be a contributing factor. Wow. So it's not that everybody needs an iron IV, you know, although that's a hell of a lot better than providing a muscle relaxant, you know, yeah, but yeah. She's got to take a plant-based mineral supplement. Sea plants are the best. Like in California, we use Body Balance. Okay. I mean, it's $100 a month. You get four giant bottles per week, but that's ground up seaweed. So you've got a plant growing in nutrient-rich soil that's drawn out copper, selenium, zinc, magnesium. You know, you need 125 different minerals.
Right.
So if you can't get a hold of sea plants, look at trace minerals, but do like double or triple the dose, and change the sleep patterns, do that change in circadian rhythm pattern where you limit your sleep to 6 hours a night, you know, do the journaling, the reading, the nightshades, all the stuff we talk about.
Cool. Awesome. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you very much.
Okay, brother.
You too.
God bless you, man.
You too, buddy.
Ulrich.
Hello. I have a question. Yes. What do you know anything about tongue-tie releases, and if you would recommend them, and when to do them and when not? Are there any contraindications to do a tongue-tie release?
What is it?
A tongue-tie release.
Oh, a tongue-tie release.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. On an infant, that's super common. On an adult?
An adult, like it would be for me.
Yeah. On an adult, it would be highly unusual. Okay. I would first, because a tongue-tie sometimes, and that's additional tissue that's holding the tongue down. So enunciating and tongue movement is going to be limited. Now that in a child, it's very, very common. They just go in there and snip it. In an adult, there could be an underlying problem that was missed, because adults pretty much aren't going to have the same problem for years. But then as they get older, there's going to be cramping, poor saliva or too much saliva, and you know, enunciation, and they may diagnose that, but I would look at underlying issues. Look at the neck, okay? Is there a problem with the neck, forward head carriage, or some type of structural deviation? Because the tongue is innervated by cranial nerves, and those are at the base of the neck. So if there's any neck issue, you're gonna have altered nerve supply to the tongue, and that's gonna alter the function. And so I'd want to look at the nerves that supply that area first. So get a digital x-ray of the neck, stress x-ray of it, and of the thoracic area. And then you may be able to identify why. Because if you've had these problems your whole life, but were able to adapt, and now the adaptation is getting harder, and a doctor is saying, well, it must be the tongue. But, you know, you sound like you're older than a teenager. So...
Yeah, I'm
38. Okay, yeah. So you've been a teenager twice. I have my third 21st birthday coming up. 63, baby. Okay, so you know, it would be highly doubtful that it's a tongue tie in an adult. It's more likely that there was some type of physical trauma causing the head to go forward. So, you know, look at the entire structure. And have it assessed by somebody that's knows what to look at and knows how to correct a problem. That's why we use those seven questions. And then once you restore the nerve supply and blood supply to that area, and then the function should be restored. So if you had good function before, but you're losing it now, it's not from the tongue tie.
Yeah, well, because I've always battled with digestive issues and not sleeping well and difficulty breathing, keeping my tongue on the roof of my mouth. Like, I've never been able to do that. So that's why I went to a myofunctional therapist, and they said, no, I should get the tongue tie release. But I mean, in the end, it is a it is an operation again, you know, so yeah. That's why I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Adding in not just the tongue issue, looking at the poor sleep patterns, digestive issues, everything else, there's three things that have to be looked at. Really good, buddy.
And I found I also found out as a baby, I never wanted to latch. So my mother wasn't able to breastfeed me. So they said that could also be due to a tongue tie.
The tongue tie isn't going to be caused on the poor sleep patterns. And it's not going to be caused on the digestive issues. So I would look at everything else. And this is going to be pelvis issues. Like if your big toe is leaning towards your other toes, that's mm-hmm. going to be indicating that the lumbar or pelvis isn't working correctly. The poor sleep patterns means that you're in a stress state. Okay. So physical, chemical, emotional stress is going to be huge. And that's going to equate to the digestive issues. So I would look at the underlying problem. It's not going to be just one tongue tie. I would fix the whole body first. So this is a red flashing light on the dashboard telling you that there's a problem. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. But what part of the world do you live in?
I'm in South Africa.
Okay. Yeah. There's look for New Zealand chiropractic graduates. Okay. They've got some good philosophy. Use the 7 questions that we have to find a corrective chiropractor. But New Zealand is producing a lot of good, I mean, bad government, but good chiropractors.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Okay, dear, let me know how you're doing and send some of the, send your x-rays over and I'll be able to help you a little bit more.
Oh, great, thank you.
Okay, dear, you'll be okay. Barbara G, my dear. Hello. Hello, my dear.
Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you too.
My daughter has always had problems with cold hands and feet, but now she just feels cold all over all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I did suggest to her to go to her chiropractor, and I don't know whether she did that. I know that she went to, how do you pronounce it, naturopath or something. And what she's been saying to me, it didn't really sound like they were getting to the root of the problem. So I wondered if you could shed some light on what it could be.
Oh, yeah. Well, you figure cold hands, cold feet. And the autonomic nervous system, we've got to have a balance of it. If you're in a low functioning parasympathetic, that's going to be digestion. That's going to be poor sleep patterns. This is going to sound familiar. There's 3 stressors that have to be looked at. I don't think I've ever said this before, but what you're going to see, and this is kind of a clue. If she's had any vaccinations or medications or any poor diet, she's going to have a leaky gut. Okay, and that's going to be a contributing factor. Poor sleep patterns are going to be a contributing factor. Emotional stress is going to be a contributing factor. I mean, figure a lot of people are coming out of 3 years of enlightenment and stress. Okay, and that's going to put our body in a stress state. So with blood going to digestion, because when you're in a fight or flight state, blood goes from digestion to the arms and legs. And then you have the adrenal and the thyroid. So if she goes to a bad doctor, she's going to be diagnosed with a low functioning thyroid or adrenal fatigue or digestive disorders. When really you got to do
they were saying about her thyroid, and I've listened to what you've said about the alternating with the adrenals and the thyroid.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And that's that, because when you ask them what causes this, they'll say genetics, okay, even though you got nobody in your family with the same problem. Yeah. Or they'll say, we just don't know, it's idiopathic, you know, and that's just foolishness.
Yeah.
No, get to a corrective chiropractor. Now, what part of the world does she live in?
She's in Seattle.
Okay, cool.
Well, outside Seattle.
Yeah, that's some of the worst chiropractic college in the world up there. It's called Northwestern, but yeah, you know, have her call around. There's a group, Dr. Paul Reed. He runs a number of clinics, and they have decent protocols. They're called Cairo One, and they shoot X-rays. I'd get the list of X-rays from Justin that we need, because that would assess the entire physical stress. And yeah. Then if she could get a full body thermography, that would identify chemical stress. So it may show dental toxicities. It may show a leaky gut. It may show toxicity in the liver. Okay. And that would be a chemical stressor. Poor sleep is a chemical stressor. And then emotions are chemicals, that the emotions are a contributing factor, because you can think yourself sick and think yourself well. Okay. So taking conscious control of that.
I know she doesn't really, when I've spoken to her about it, she doesn't really seem to have any problem with sleep. But, you know, I've asked her about like general stress. And I think she's stressed and she thinks she isn't.
Yeah. Did she get the COVID shot?
No.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Because that.
Does that make any difference?
The what?
Her husband did.
No, it's just the only difference there. Okay, if one spouse gets it and the other spouse doesn't, and you know your mom is against it, there might be an untruth.
No, okay? she definitely if didn't.
She for sure didn't do it. Okay. Yeah, because I mean, shedding and stuff, we see that on blood analysis, but it's not going to be a big issue.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He tried to persuade her husband not to take it, but he's a firefighter and he was threatened with having to leave the job unless he got the vaccine.
Oh, yeah. So it's criminal. Yeah. Yeah. Looking at the full set of X-rays to find the problem. The full body thermography, they could do a live blood cell analysis, we'd see the health of the blood, maybe in a stressed state. But all of that is because the cold hands, cold feet, that's just an alarm. It's not the problem.
Yeah. Well, the problem that seems to be now that she just generally feels cold all the time. And, you know, not because she's not dressed appropriately or everybody else in the family feels the same. She just feels cold all the time. Yeah. And that's much worse than she had with the feet and the hands.
Yep.
She does have a chiropractor that seemed to be really good. But I think, yeah, I don't think she went to her. And I think maybe if I give her this information that you just gave me, maybe that will.
Yeah, it'll put the fire in. A
chiropractor and not where she went otherwise, yeah.
Yeah, no, she'll get better, dear.
Thanks very much.
Okay, God bless you. Okay, Marv, I know you can't raise your hand, but you're in the chat.
All right, can you hear me, sir?
Yes, I can hear you crystal clear.
Excellent. This is a question about your opinion on vaccine shedding, but a little background first. Do you know who Brett Weinstein and Heather Heying are?
Yeah.
They got that podcast, Dark Horse?
No. I've heard the name, Brett Weinstein.
Well, yeah, they're evolutionary biologists who were pushed out of Evergreen University as professors in Oregon. And anyway, they're on YouTube and they talk about a wide variety of subjects, including the vax. And Brett Weinstein, both of them are highly intelligent people. Brett Weinstein was asked that, what he thought about vaccine shedding. And he thought, his opinion was, as a professional, that it was impossible except for direct fluid exchange like blood or sexual interaction or perhaps spit. But he didn't think it was possible at a distance. Do you know who Diamond and Silk are?
No.
Okay, they're two black sisters. One of them recently died 2 months ago. They're on the talk show circuit. They even appeared with Trump a number of times. Anyway, Silk is the remaining survivor, and she says that neither one of them got the vax, but Diamond had died suddenly, and I believe she had an autopsy done, and that they found the clots, the rubbery clots in her veins, but that they say they didn't get the vax. They did believe in vaccine shedding, and Silk, the remaining sister, their real name is Hardaway, the last name. So her sister, Silk, thinks that it was vaccine shedding that killed her sister. And she says she was healthy, no heart issues, nothing, but she died suddenly 2 months ago. Now, I think I know for a fact that live attenuated vaccines such as measles are very contagious, shedding the first few days. Mm-hmm. And last month I wasn't on the call because I really got sick with the flu 3 weeks ago, or it took 3 weeks to get out of it. I never get sick from the flu or colds, not since I was a little kid. And previous to that, 2 days previous, I was getting a little physical therapy done. Then I came down with this flu or cold, whatever it was. It just knocked me for a loop for 3 weeks. I had to have caught it from somebody in a physical therapy room. And there was a couple of Karens with face masks on, regardless. But, you know, we all touch the same equipment. Yeah, I'm not afraid to talk to these Karens, but I'm going to talk to the director and get back in and see if you can't make a policy to leave your face diapers in the car. But anyway, we all touch the same equipment. That I went onto the machine right after this one Karen with her face diaper. And anyway, 2 days later, I got sick for three freaking weeks. 1 week intensely sick, and I was taking ivermectin. Then it was coming off of that, but it took three full weeks to get it off of it. Anyway, what is your opinion on vaccine shedding? Is it possible with this nasty mRNA vax?
Well, how human beings work, okay? When we're together, you're going to be sharing all of your experiences, viruses, funguses, bacteria, everything with me. I'm going to be sharing all of my stuff with you.
That's what I
this
thought.
This is why, like, when explorers would find natives in the jungle that have never had exposure, okay, that they could spread diseases just by being there. This is why they called it the white man's disease. In the 1700s and 1800s, European could only live in Africa for maybe 1 to 2 years. That was their average lifespan there. And then they would die of the jungle fevers because they're exposed to all of these different pathogens that they didn't have a resistance for. Okay, so, I mean, you're not looking at a lot of great European explorers that hung out in Africa a long time. You know, it was really a death sentence. And so you being exposed to someone, and this is how we survive. We transfer information.
I so definitely there is, caught it from somebody. Yeah.
Well, actually, no, you probably earned it. Okay.
No, thanks.
Because you can't, the viruses only grow, they have a job. So they're only going to grow in weak tissue. So there had to have been physical, chemical, or emotional stress. If you're working out at the physical therapist, you are straining your body, you're working hard. Okay, you're breaking up old tissue. There's going to be an inflammatory response. Beautiful. And going through a cold process is actually a cleansing. The cure for the common cold is the common cold. You have mucus, you shed, you eliminate, you get diarrhea. I mean, it's a workout of the system. It's like taking an old car and running it really fast on the highway to blow the carbon out of the carburetor, you know? So that you had to earn the cold, but there is viral shedding. You're not going to get it from the vaccine. You're not going to get the mRNA. Okay, but you are going to get certain aspects of the virus, like the spike protein can be shed off. Okay, but you're not going to transfer the mRNA or the actual vaccine. You would have to do a fluid transfer. So they're right about that. But no, I mean, as human beings, you're two-third bug. So viruses are part of your ecosystem, and we have to share them. Now, to die suddenly, that means that that girl was under stress. And when you're,
looking at her videos up until the day she died, she didn't even look under, as she was under stress. Her real name, again, is Lynette Hardaway, that identified as Diamond. And again, they're the two girls on a talk show circuit for years now. Anyway, she was supposedly totally healthy, but then all of a sudden she found it extremely hard to breathe, had no heart disease previous. She's supposedly healthy, but died suddenly. But they're attributing it to vaccine shedding.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Vaccine shedding would be doubtful. But knowing, okay, I mean, how the system works, when you're under stress, and we could be watching a scary movie, the blood cells start to clump together. If she had any, past trauma, past physical trauma, maybe she was a gymnast, okay, and got her pelvis messed up. Maybe her sleep patterns weren't actually accurate. Maybe she had some type of forward head carriage or nerves that supplied the heart or organ systems were compromised. So, you know, people can be perfectly healthy, but only 10% of the nerves that come off the spine have pain fibers. So you get a person super healthy, golfing all day, 18 holes, and they die of a heart attack Monday. Were they healthy Sunday? No, not really. They didn't have any symptoms. They didn't have any awareness of it. So I would, you've got to look at the underlying cause that, and that's why you can't, like when people come in for wellness, okay. And I'll go, okay, good. Let's check your physiology because only 10% of the nerves you're conscious aware of. How many bowel movements a day do you have? Oh, one if I'm lucky, but I take laxative, so I get two. Okay, so we know that there's a stress state. How's your sleep patterns? Oh, I sleep really good. I only get up three times at night to pee. Okay, so that's shitty sleep. So when you start doing detective work, you're saying, buddy, you're not in for wellness. You're in a stress state. No, I'm fine. You know, there people don't just die. Okay, there's got to be an underlying physical, chemical, emotional stressors. It won't be from viral shedding. It will be from damaged tissue. And viruses only grow in tissue that's damaged. They have a job. They're well-organized molecular parasites. They're literally parasites that only attack dead tissue. And that's why when we do a blood analysis, we'll see oxidative stress, but we could see parasitic attack, but it's not the parasites that's the problem. Okay, it's going to be a tissue production problem where your cells aren't being healthy because of possible mineral deficiency or some underlying absorption issue. You know, you might be taking in all the supplements, but low stomach acid will cause a low absorption. So there's going to be a reason, detective work, but it won't be viral shedding.
So I earned the virus I caught.
You earned it, brother.
I never get sick from that.
But you did have, and this is common, you know, I didn't get sick for 10 years. Okay. But that sweating, that mucous membranes, the coughing, the elimination. Okay. You're getting rid of a lot of dead tissue. Okay. It's a cleansing process. That's why we say the cure for the common cold is actually the common cold.
Well, I definitely got something that day. Physical therapy. Anyway, I'm glad I had ivermectin, and I appreciate all of your knowledge and opinions, sir. Thank you.
God bless you, brother.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you. You as well. God bless.
And I hope they lose the face diaper. Margaret Tuff.
Hi.
Hello, my dear.
How are you?
Excellent. What's going on, my dear?
I have a question about my husband. He's actually in the ICU right now, and he's had problems with extra blood clotting for years, basically about 20 years. And this time, he's had like three bypasses in the lower body. So not heart, but lower body in the legs, and they keep plugging up. So where can I start to begin to hopefully reverse some of this,
Like right away. Okay, is he taking diuretics? I know he's taking blood thinners for sure. Yes. And blood pressure pills? Yeah.
No, he's got low blood pressure and diuretics, so he's not taking any of that. He's just they've got him on heavy duty blood thinners, like right now, Xarelto and Coumadin. Yeah. And so, you know, in order to move him through, the doctor just called me this morning and said, at least the clots seem to have resolved, but who knows, you know, he's on this, all this heavy stuff. So of course they might be resolved for now, but.
Yeah, no, when you're talking low stomach acid, the cells that should be electronegative magnets where they're repelling each other, they're now starting mm-hmm. to clump together because blood doesn't clot in the arteries. It does clump in the arteries. And that's okay. going to be from low minerals and low stomach acid. And this is why when they do like cardiac bypasses, and within 5 years, 80% clog. Okay, so they're not fixing the problem. So make sure, and it's tough because he's in ICU, so he's going to get really crap food.
Right.
And have him take in no seed oils, no canola oil, no seed oils at all, no corn oil, none of that stuff. Because that's ultimately what damages the arteries and causes the body to protect it.
We don't eat that. And also in the hospital, they're serving him totally organic food. And I didn't see any oils in it. So at least he's in a reasonable state there.
That's a good start. There's a book called Left for Dead. And this was a failed cardiac bypass. And he talks about the benefits of cayenne supplements with each meal. Now they're vasodilators. It opens up the blood vessels. And it bronchodilates, so it opens up the blood to the lungs. And then getting a mineral supplement in there, a plant-based mineral supplement, sea plants, will help him a lot. But knowing that he's got leg clotting issues, where the legs, we know he's going to have an unstable pelvis. We know that he's going to have a lot of issues. But just being in, laying on a bed, he can diaphragmatic breathe. Now, diaphragmatic breathing means you're breathing in through the nose, out through the mouth, but your tummy goes up when you're blowing.
He's a brass player, so he'll do that very well.
Okay, good. Because that's going to help his oxygen transfer. Because when the cells start to clump together, they don't hold a good amount of oxygen.
All right.
So that's going to be huge. So we have to get those blood cells separate. And that's going to be the cayenne supplements, omega-3s. I mean, all the drugs he's taken are separating the cells, but it's also weakening the tissue. This is why there's going to be easy bruising, and there's been easy bruising for a while if he's been taking them for a while.
Yeah, he has been.
Yeah, yeah. And then
he exercises like crazy. I mean, you know, to keep pushing everything through. So he is in, you know, he looks to be in good physical shape, but. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got to check his x-rays though. Once he gets out of the ICU, we've got to get him to a corrective chiropractor. What part of the world do you guys live in?
Seattle.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Look up Cairo One, Dr. Paul Reed. Okay. That would be a good start.
I wrote that down.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
Because we got to get a full set of x-rays. And once you get that, he's going to have an unstable pelvis. He's going to have a leaky gut because he's gone through the whole hospital thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so healing the gut, getting him out of the physical stress, changing his sleep pattern so he can build cells healthier, faster than they're breaking down. Okay. That would be huge.
He has been seeing a chiropractor on this side of the water. We're not on the Seattle side of the water. They don't have a lot of chiropractors, but he's been seeing one, but he does complain about an unstable pelvis. It seems like it gets fixed, and then 3 days later, it feels like it's not.
Yeah. When he looks at the pelvic health video, if he can sit up in ICU, he can see that there's a couple of exercises, just sneaking in a plastic water bottle so you can put it behind him if he's laying down at the bottom of the elbow, so it's right at the junction of the rib cage. That'll help him to get oxygen transfer, and that will help a lot.
His oxygen in the hospital at least is measuring at 100%. Is that?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, he's taken a whole bunch of blood thinners and he's probably taking in oxygen too. So,
No, actually not. But
he's not? Oh, beautiful.
No. Yeah.
but have him do that diaphragmatic breathing.
Okay.
Because that's going to help the organ tissues as well. Diaphragmatic breathing helps use the lower two-thirds of the lungs, which when you've got a blood issue, uh-huh. you're transferring oxygen to, you know, carbon dioxide in the lung area. So you want more surface area. And if the blood's not efficient at holding oxygen, that's going to help. But the diaphragmatic breathing also moves the organ tissue.
Okay. Okay. Wonderful. A lot okay. of things to do. Thank you so much.
Okay, my dear. God bless you. Thanks for taking care of him.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Roya Z.
Hi, Dr. B.
Hello, my dear. What's going on?
Thank you for your time. I posted my question on, in the chat. Maybe that makes it easier.
Oh, there it is. I have a 26-year-old male friend. It's been about 2 months that he gets priapism. Basically gets an erection in his penis without any stimulus, and he has to go to the hospital to remove the blood. The blood there has a solution. The problem is getting more frequent once a month. Now it's daily. The doctors are out of ideas. Of course they are. And they have him tested to make sure his blood cells are in healthy shape. He has got the jab, which makes sense. Otherwise that he's in good shape and his life is turned upside down. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. When you're getting the mRNA shot, it migrates to the testes, the ovaries, uterus, liver. It migrates all around the body. So that makes sense. Now, you've got an automatic nervous system. Sympathetic is fight or flight. Parasympathetic is rest and digest. When you're, you need both of these for good sexual function. And we used to call them pointing and shooting. So the parasympathetic gives the erection. The sympathetic gives the ejaculation. So he's got blood flowing in there. And the parasympathetic, half of it's located in the pelvis. So he's going to have a pelvic issue, a lumbar issue. That's going to be huge. And he's going to have an autonomic imbalance. So we going back to the basics, we got to get him x-rayed to look at the physical stressors. And he will have an unstable pelvis. Like if you look at his feet, his big toe is supposed to be going away from the toes. It'll probably be going towards him. Mm-hmm. Do you happen to know how many bowel movements a day he gets?
No.
Yeah, it's probably going to be one if he's lucky. Oh. And tell him to not get any more shots. Because they call it the clot shot. But, you know, yeah. He's in that age where if he was going to college, that's
in psychological. Canada.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it's a totalitarian takeover of the mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's mentally messed up.
Yeah.
So if you tell him that the shots are doing harm, but they do cause a clumping together of the cells, they call it the clot shot.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an absolutely contributing factor. But the body renews itself. All the blood cells are brand new every 120 days. So he'll be able to, if we keep him alive long enough, he'll be able to get that recycled to where he can start building healthy cells. Mm-hmm. Look at vasodilators, okay? Cayenne supplements, since he had the shot, nattokinase, which is like fermented soy, and it's a Japanese food. They have it in supplement form. That's going to start to clean the arteries. Cayenne supplements will open up the arteries. Okay. And omega-3s, high dose, will start to thin the blood.
Okay. So
it's not that the blood's going in there, it's that it's not draining.
So would that help us? So do you think there is a blood clot there? And is there a test that he can take so he's convinced that this is all happening because of that? So he kind of listens to me because it's really hard to get into him.
Oh, no, just don't mention the shot at all.
Yeah.
Because, you know, just say it's a blood problem.
Okay.
Okay. It's a problem where the blood isn't healthy.
Okay.
And so we need to separate the red blood cells. And so talk about the nattokinase, which is going to start to clean the arteries. Mm-hmm. The cayenne supplements with each meal is going to clean the arteries. Okay. And the omega-3s from small fish, anchovy, mackerel, sardine, are going to start to separate the red blood cells.
Okay.
So it's getting the health of the cells. But then also talk to them about past physical stress.
Okay.
Okay, because, you know, he may be snowboarding, skateboarding, or all the stuff when he was a teenager, and that could have damaged his pelvis.
So if he doesn't have enough bowel movements, what should he do?
Well, the bowel movements, and this is kind of wild, the way the human body is built is you've got a rectum right behind the prostate.
Right.
So every time you got good stool formation, it's massaging the prostate. Uh-huh. And the prostate can be an issue where it's swollen and not allowing the blood flow. It's just the blood vessels are blocked. So mm-hmm. it's flowing one way, not the other way. So there's some kind of blockage there. I see. That's why I'm saying bowel movements could be an issue.
I see. Okay.
And so, you know, and also too, when you're in a good balance of the nervous mm-hmm. system, things function correctly. Mm-hmm. When you got a parasympathetic dominant state where blood's rushing in there and not rushing out, mm-hmm. we know that there's some kind of problem. So that's why the pelvis is going to be an issue. That's going to be bowel issues. That's going to be sleep pattern issues. And, you know, of course, the injection, the mRNA injection makes all that shit worse.
Okay. Yeah. Yep.
But just talk about, you know, there could be past traumas and, you know, no, Ma, I'm fine, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, my dear. Let me know how he's doing.
Okay, I will. Thanks.
Okay, dear. Barbara G.
Yeah, sorry. I was so concerned about my daughter, I forgot to ask you about my own problem. And that is, my left forearm on the inside just itches such a lot. And now it's moved. And it's been like that for a few weeks, but now it's moved up to the now it looks more like eczema in the crease of my arm.
Ah, cool. Okay, good. well, that's an easy fix. Okay, so make sure you're doing the neck curve exercise. Okay, that'll help. But eczema, psoriasis, most skin disorders have to do with the gut function or low stomach acid. So look at sleep patterns topically. You can do coconut oil. You could do direct heat. What's going to be wild is the itchy part. If you take a damp cloth and a microwave, put moist heat on there, instantly the itching will stop. Okay. So because your body is trying to detox the system, but why it's only in that one area, it's usually has to do with compromised nerve supply to it or the structure, or you may be like resting it on something to where there's decreased blood flow. And that can be some type of irritant too. So look at the biomechanics throughout the day. You may be, you know, driving or resting with it on there, or you may be watching TV or using computer work where it's always under a compressive force load. And then blood toxicities will show up. You may also have it not just in that left arm, but it may be in the right leg or in the feet or the calves as well. It's only the reason I say right leg is that's around 70% of the time. The left leg will show up about 30% of the time for blood toxicities. So if you have a similar thing on your feet or in the legs, then that makes sense that it's a blood toxicity issue. So, you know, juicing and blending, but juicing with apples, those have malic acid, those clean the kidneys. Carrots have beta carotene and those clean the lungs. Celery is super good for minerals. And beets are clean in the liver. So it's something. When we were in, I was at my clinic in Thailand, and they had ABC juice, apples, beets, and celery. Apples, beets, and carrots. And I thought, holy shit, how cool. this is just what I recommend, you know? So the soluble fibers help clean that system out. And then restoring the nerve supply to that area also helps.
I mean, now that you've mentioned it, I do need to go to a chiropractor because I don't have it very often, but occasionally I get a tingling in my upper arm. Mm-hmm. And I just need to, if I just move around, then it goes.
So, it goes away.
I know that I need an adjustment there.
Darling, you've got a beautiful smile. You just do.
So that is is part of it as well, isn't it?
100%. Yep. Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. But why does the heat help? Because if it gets hot, it always feels as if I want to cool it down, and if it gets hot, then it seems to be worse.
Well, kind of. If it's hot and sweaty, because your body, the sweat glands are going to be detoxing the body, and the scratching or the itching that you want to do is the body trying to get, because when you scratch it, it turns red.
Yeah.
And after you scratch it, it feels good for a while. Yeah. So you're forcing blood to the area. Body is detoxing the system. I mean, this is why when an animal's going like this, they're trying to rush blood to the area and detox the system and getting stuff out. And I see. The heat just helps detox it. Heat in the whole area will make it worse. Heat directly applied will make it better.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Cause I mean, I live in Florida, so,
heat all around is common. We just got to do it direct on the arm.
Right. Thanks very much indeed. I've written that all down. I'll get on to that. Thank you.
Okay, my dear. Okay, well, it looks like if anyone has any other questions, we've gone an hour and a half. And I got to tell you, this was fun. And I'll keep everybody abreast. We're doing this once a month. And Ilya. Are you there, brother?
Hey, how are you? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you perfect. What's going on, man?
It's connected to the Bluetooth, so if it sounds bad, let me know.
Nope, it sounds great.
Gotcha. My wife, she's suffering from anxiety. I guess this is the reason that she's kind of got it. She's got a lot of pain, like in her chest. It goes down all the way down to her.
Okay, you're breaking up a little bit, but
down to her left leg as well. Neck. I would say like C1, all the way on top.
Perfect. Okay, yeah. So that makes sense.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, you're breaking up, going in and out and stuff. But yeah. Yeah, I think cutting off the video might help the sound.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on the road, so I'm trying to find better service.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, the audio is coming in clear now. Okay. So she's got anxiety, a chest pain, and it radiates to her arm and left leg. I think that's what I got. Okay. If you can hear me, is she taking any medications?
No. Well, she just started taking one for, what is it? Blood pressure. Because it was it was a little higher, you know?
Okay, good. Yeah. Yeah. The side effect of that, you got to figure blood pressure drugs lower oxygen to the brain. Okay. And this is why it's a big deal. But blood pressure is never an issue. It's going to have to do with the health of the blood. So, and the oxygen, carbon dioxide release of the blood. So she doesn't have high blood pressure, but she does have stress. And there's a way to check blood pressure correctly so she realizes she doesn't have high blood pressure. She's got to learn how to diaphragmatic breathe, and there's going to be diaphragmatic breathing for at least 10 to 15 minutes before she checks it. And then she's going to check her blood pressure. So it's in through the nose, out through the mouth, filling the tummy up with air, and when you blow out, it goes in. So diaphragmatic breathing is one of the treatments for anxiety and depression. Okay, that's going to be huge. And then we've got to look at her gut flora. So that she'll be able to deep breathe, check her blood pressure, and find out it's actually too low. But there's going to be physical stress, so we need to look at the entire structure. One of the things, if you look at her foot, if the big toes lean in towards the other toes, that means that there's going to be a pelvis issue or lumbar issue. And the pelvis and the neck area house the rest, digest, and repair mode. So her body's in a stress state. The anxiety and the high blood pressure are just red flashing lights that there's a stress state. And so there's only three stressors, physical, chemical, and emotional. And luckily, being married to you, there's no emotional stress. So we only have physical and chemical. No, dude, you're not supposed to laugh at that.
Sorry, she heard me, damn it. Man. But we did find a good chiropractor that we went here in Dominican Republic. Remember, I moved down here about 2 years ago. They took x-rays, finally found a chiropractor who's actually doing x-rays here. And I think she's from like Ohio area. I'm not sure exactly, but because it was a quick consultation. We're going to see, you know, her on Tuesday, this coming up week, to see what's going on also.
Totally cool. Yeah, but and brother, you could send me, once you get it, just take a cell phone picture of the x-rays, okay?
Uh-huh.
And then you can send it through Justin and I'll get it.
To Justin? Yeah, I believe I got his email because I'm on. Oh, so the other question is, I'm not sure if you recall, we spoke a couple of times. My son, he has the childhood type 1 diabetes. He's 7 years old. You know, he's got the sensor, so we don't pinch him every day. And we are giving them, like, you know, high fat food, low carbs, and you know, to just keep his sugar down compared to the traditional recommend, or even like doing adjustments or seeing you in California.
Oh yeah, have your chiropractor there. Start adjusting him. And with all the stuff that you're doing, you're going to see his insulin usage is going to go down. Okay. And then get him to exercise every day. So like riding his bike to school, doing any kind of activity, and this will help his body utilize excess sugars, and it's going to help balance it out, because exercise also reduces the insulin needed.
Gotcha. Is there anything specifically he should be eating too that's kind of like promote insulin production, or
all the stuff you're talking about is good. The high fats, the fermented foods, the local organic stuff. I mean, all of that's going to be ideal. Less grains, more plants, and that's going to be ideal. More, you know, healthy animals are going to be okay. But also, the best doctors on the inside. So have him not shoot the insulin like it's a vitamin. Have him check his blood sugar before and after how he eats. And you're going to see his body's going to absorb some and have challenges with others. So just doing that, you're going to be able to see a really cool balance at what he's metabolically attracted to. It's almost like if he eats something and he feels tired or sluggish afterwards, his body's spending more energy to digest that than he would to utilize it. If he eats something and he has a shitload more energy, then his body's metabolizing that good, and it takes the stress off of the pancreas.
Gotcha. Yeah, we noticed that even if he eats like organic peanut butter, because it has more sugar, his sugar always, you know, spikes up. So we kind of stopped doing that. But the other nuts he's okay with, you know, like we started using like almond flour and what's the other one?
Yeah. And that's why the peanut butter, it's not from a nut. Peanuts aren't peanuts. They're not nuts. They're misnamed. So he's going to have a good response to like walnuts, hazelnuts, things like that, more than likely. And peanut, since they grind it up and compact it, it is packed with energy. Okay. And I mean, it's a fantastic superfood, but it also has a mycotoxin in there, which if you have gut sensitivity, you can have a negative reaction to it. And this is all peanuts.
Interesting. Because he did break out with certain skin, like rashes, stuff like that. So it could have been to that, you know, certain peanuts, like you said.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's why, well, and a lot of vaccines are suspended in peanut oil. Okay. And they use that in a lot of manufacturing. So that this is why, I mean, they have peanut free days now at baseball parks because there's so many people that are allergic to them now. Yeah, but nothing to see here. There's no problem.
Yeah. Gotcha. So yeah, we'll take them to this chiropractor also, get them x-rayed and like start adjusting there. Do you suggest flying down to Huntington Beach to see you guys out there?
I mean, if you make it down, you know, either at Huntington Beach or Tijuana, whichever one. Yeah, we're full staffed at both. It will do like the thermography, the blood analysis, everything. And then that way you could even film the adjustment. So your chiropractor in the Dominican Republic can, you know, follow along the protocols to get you guys better.
Gotcha. Tijuana. Okay. Gotcha. You're right there on the border. Mexico.
And yeah, I know. And the flights to TJ from the DR, you know, you're flying to Mexico City from there to TJ and it's cheap.
Yeah. How is it safety wise? It's fine.
If you watch the American news, it's incredibly dangerous. If you talk to the people down there, they go, huh? You know, I mean, if you're going to drive in a white van, with foreign plates, driving through a bad area where there's drugs known. Yeah. You know, there's like five places in LA. I wouldn't recommend that to happen either. My sister used to work at the LA City School. She was a speech pathologist, and they have warnings on certain schools. Like, don't wear red at this school. Don't wear black at this school. So there was honest to God, because I mean, if you know, they'll shoot for the color, you know, and this was the Crips and the Bloods back in the 90s. Yeah. No, it's safe. I mean, when we walk on the streets, my wife is a fashionista. She knows Gucci and everything. And she'll be naming the purse this person's carrying and the glasses this. I mean, these are thousands and thousands of dollars worth of glasses and purses and, you know, all done up nice. Yeah. And they're walking on the streets right next to our hotel, you know, and going to the fancy restaurants. There's no, if you're buying drugs or dealing with criminals, yeah. You know,
of course. Yeah.
It's like any big city, but it's actually safer than LA and way safer than Santa Ana and way safer than some areas in San Diego.
Gotcha. Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, definitely. I'll send out those x-rays to Justin and then I'll connect with your office and we'll coordinate to schedule and see.
Yeah, and get your sweetheart on fermented foods. Have her look at the brain reprogramming, the diaphragmatic breathing, and the high blood pressure stuff. So just diaphragmatic breathing will lower the blood pressure immediately.
The reprogramming, is that on YouTube or is that in the academy?
It should be in both. Although YouTube, they're shadow banning me like crazy. So it's hard to find my stuff.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'll just go straight to the academy then and we'll do that. It's the NLP, right?
Neuro-linguistic programming. Yep. Absolutely.
Excellent, Doc. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Okay, brother. Take care. You're awesome.
Yeah, you're amazing. Bye.
Okay, and one question from the chat from Royza. What's your recommendation for somebody that's been diagnosed with SIBO, small intestinal bacteria overgrowth? That 100% is coming from stress or low stomach acid. Low stomach acid is from physical, chemical, or emotional stress, or somebody drinking water with every meal, because that can dilute the acid as well. So the key is to increase the stomach acid. So once you've identified the physical stress by doing x-rays, everything else, look at the sleep patterns. Betaine hydrochloric acid is a supplement that you could take for no more than a month to help increase that. And then getting healthy fermented foods and mineral supplementation, as well as that water trick where you drink 16 ounces of hot water, put your elbows on the kitchen counter and force your tummy out and force it in over about 3 minutes. But look at the underlying stressors as the ultimate source of the small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, the SIBO. And they'll recover fast. And have them put moist heat on their tummy too. That will help rush blood to the area. But getting out of the stress state, once you identify that, the stomach acid will start to grow, but the betaine hydrochloric acid will kick it over the edge and help in very, very short time. Well, it's been an hour and a half. No hands are up, and I hope you all had fun. And we're going to be doing this again next month, and I'm super excited. God bless y'all. You guys are warriors, and I'll keep everyone updated with the lawsuit, because they are trying to take my license in America. But you know, just think of back in the old days, okay, when Wolfman Jack went across the border in Mexico because rock and roll was illegal, and he blasted the signal across America, okay, and then rock and roll got hold. Okay, so I'm going to be going broadcasting from Mexico. Don't know what sites we're going to be on, but we're going to be trying protecting Extreme Health Academy, and we're going to be protecting everything. So we're in an exciting time. God bless you all. I love you, and take care. Yeah.